Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Shortcomings, where we are shooting the shit about every episode of Sex and the City. I am your host, Samantha Bush, and I'm joined by my other host, Chris Lewis. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
You know, not well. This week we were chatting.
It's been a weird week.
It's been a weird week. Energetically, I'm all off.
Yeah.
So just apologies to everyone listening right at the top.
Right at the tip.
I don't know what's going to come out.
Yeah, we've warned you.
I listened to a few Dolly Parton songs last night and sobbed.
Oh.
So fingers crossed. Thankfully, this isn't an emotional episode, so I won't cry. Hopefully I don't get angry and just storm. If at any point it just seems Sam is monologuing, I've just closed the computer and left in a fit of anger.
He's pulled a Ramona Singer and left the set.
I gotta go. But no, hopefully everything will be fine. We're gonna get into episode 4 of this podcast. So thanks again to everyone for listening. Sam, I guess we gotta get into this news, which is exciting. You know, every week we try to talk about the Sex and the City cinematic universe. And I got a little article that came across my desk this week that they might already be planning a second season of And Just Like That. What do we think?
I think my predictions that I made the other week to be very true.
And also we should say that we are recording this before, you guys are going to hear this in 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. So they could have also already said they're doing a second season. So
yeah.
But we're in the past, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that what they're doing, and I said this a few weeks ago, is that they're setting up to make the new 4 women that they've brought on to be kind of the new Second City, and they're, like, going to pass the torch.
I don't know.
Because, like, what if one of these women is dating, like, Aiden?
Do you think in that case then, like, Carrie, Charlotte, and Miranda aren't there anymore? Or they're just doing guest appearances?
I think in the second season, I mean, we'll see what happens in the first season of this show. But the second season, I think it would be kind of interesting to follow a different
group of friends.
Yeah, and especially to make it more modern, to make it more, like, now.
I mean, look, I would be into that. I don't know that Sarah Jessica Parker is looking to produce things that don't star herself.
Okay. Kim Cattrall has entered the chat.
I didn't mean like that. I didn't
no,
mean
I know.
It wasn't
no,
like
I know.
Shady. I just meant like, I think she is having fun doing this. Did you see that cute Instagram of the cut? And then Cynthia Nixon wrote on it, like, I've enjoyed working with Sarah Jessica Parker for more than 40 years.
Then
SJP wrote back on it. It's like, they are so cute.
They are so cute. And then we got pictures of the kids this week, the older children.
We need to talk about Brady.
Yeah, we might have different opinions.
Actually, I don't think... How old is that actor before we talk about him? Hold on. What I'm referring to is that I don't want to be unkind to a child. Are you saying?
So let's check the age. Let's make sure this is appropriate.
I mean, look, did I have to look up a few of the actors on Never Have I Ever this week? Yes.
Oh, which one?
Well, look, I think we all know that Paxton is pushing 40 and looks it. So I was not worried about being attracted to him.
Yeah,
But a few pictures came to my way of the other gentleman on the show. And I was like, ooh, he's looking good. He's 20. Valley of the 20-something guys, indeed. So I just want to be clear. I am saying that I am, you know, think Brady could be a bit better looking. Sam is saying she would like...
I think he's a cutie.
To know him biblically.
Yeah, I think he's a cutie. I'm excited to see Lily and Rose...
Yeah, and I guess people are speculating that Brady and Rose are dating.
Wouldn't him and Lily be closer in age?
I mean, he's like too, at least, although I guess we don't know when they adopted Lily, so it doesn't matter how old Lily was when they adopted her.
Yeah, I guess it really doesn't matter. Age is just a number, I guess, right?
Said R. Kelly.
Said the girl just Googling a child's age.
Yeah.
Like, I need to seek help.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to, and just like that, and we'll see, like, if these 10 episodes come out and they're amazing, obviously I'm gonna want more, so.
Yeah. I have a little bone to pick.
Okay, let's get into people. Whatever your bone is before we get into the episode. What is it?
Is I see a lot of, like, hate on Sarah Jessica Parker's looks right now, or the women's looks, or the fact that she's wearing Forever 21.
Well, I was going to say, shout out to Evan Ross Katz, who is...
But it's really annoying to me.
He's very angry about her dressing in, I think, Old Navy.
But I don't understand that, because Carrie always wore, like, high-end pieces, low-end pieces. Like, why does it fucking matter? Like, she doesn't need to be in head-to-toe, like, designer. That was never Carrie's thing. And people, if you are a diehard fan of the show, you know that.
I think that it's so just that it. The clothes are... In the original show, and look, yeah. I don't know enough about fashion. It always felt like she was wearing high-end clothes or, like, vintage. But it never felt like she was wearing something, like, you were going to go into, like, your local mall and get.
Yeah, but it doesn't look... She doesn't pair the clothes. It's starting to look a little like
your friend's teacher.
Like a little pedestrian.
Yeah. Some of them look great.
I just think everyone is so used to, like, the same bullshit looks that we see on Instagram and, like, the same. It's like people forgot what, like, real clothes and fashion and, like, real women looked like, and people just need to get the fuck
I'm very excited for the looks, but there are some of them I'm getting a little worried. However, Miranda continues, every picture I see of her, she looks fantastic.
She looks fucking phenomenal. They're great. Doing her, I love it. But then Natasha's looks, I will say, have been very strange.
And it seems that she's filming a lot with Carrie. They're really piling around.
Yeah, like, I saw another image of her this week that I was like, oh, they're still doing this.
This is, of course, all going to come out, and it's like a 5-second scene.
Yeah, but in our heads, it's like it could be something totally different.
But the Sex and the City cinematic universe continues to grow. I'm excited that we're looping in the kids.
Me too.
I'm
excited because then they have, like, they have personalities now. They're, like, real people. They're not just, like, coloring.
I hope they know how to write for them, and it's not, like, so obvious. This is, like, older people writing for, like,
it's like what older people think younger kids are doing.
Yeah, like, hello, fellow youth. Yeah, like, I want it to feel natural and real, which is a shocking thing to say about. I want the show to feel natural and real. A shocking thing to say about Sex and the City.
It's never that. But if they make Miranda Hobbs do a fucking TikTok dance, I'll kill myself.
Charlotte's definitely gonna be on TikTok.
You think?
They had her shit her pants in the first movie. This She's absolutely going to be this doing a TikTok very true. Dance. And we'll get into it. Kristen Davis is a comedy genius. Should we get into the episode?
Yes.
So this is episode 4, Valley of the 20-something Guys. I did just want to say right up top that in a New York Times Times Talk, Sarah Jessica Parker said that this was her favorite episode of the show ever. Or I should say, she said it was emblematic of what the show should be.
Me and Sarah Jessica Parker agree.
We'll get into it, because I am loath to disagree with our queen, SJP. Mm-hmm. And I deeply disagree with her about this episode.
I'm really fascinated to hear your thoughts on this episode, because I texted you and I was like, this is a great episode of Sex and the City. This is, like, to me, the show.
And I sent that, I'm sure, that new emoji with, like, spirals in his eyes, like,
yeah. Yeah, you were not thrilled with my text.
Yeah, but let's get into it in terms of a synopsis. After an unsuccessful thing with Mr. Big, Carrie decides to explore the world of 20-something guys. Samantha has a fling of her own with a 20-something. Miranda continues her own thing with a 20-something, Skipper. And Charlotte receives an offer she absolutely can refuse.
Are men in their 20s the new designer drug? Yes, Samantha, Miranda, and I were all recreational users. But were we getting into something we couldn't handle? Okay, we were attracted to younger men for various reasons. But I couldn't help but wonder, what do they see in us?
So, Sam, yeah. That's our first I couldn't help but wonder.
I know. It is, like,
it felt one of the most instantly iconic.
I know. It's, like, it's probably the most iconic phrase that has ever come from Sex and the City.
I would argue it's when Samantha said it's dick-licious, but that might just dick-licious. Be for me personally.
Okay, okay.
But what did you think of the kind of cold open? Let's start by chatting about that, where Carrie and Big keep running into one another.
I loved it.
You did? Did you like that it opened with Once Upon a Time?
Well, I missed him last episode. I like this idea that they run in they're different types of people. Like, she's a writer and he's like some finance bro, but they always like run into each other and they're always like seeing each other out. And there's like this chemistry with them that you just see on the screen that just like, this is why they are the couple.
But didn't you think it was weird? I actually don't think that they would run. It was weird to me that they both know a wealthy lawyer and would be at this bris.
You think?
It just doesn't seem like they would have friends in common at all.
This to me, after doing, you know, lots of research on Candace Bushnell and Ron Galati, this felt very reminiscent of the relationship that she talked about with the two of them, how they like were in the same circle of people, even though they had very different like jobs and very, you know, you'd think that they'd be in different like social strata, but they really weren't. They had very similar group of friends. And that's, I feel like this is just very, from, I don't know, it felt like familiar. Like it felt nice.
All right. I did want to just mention the episode opens with Once Upon a Time again. She's out of her fairy tale bullshit from the first episode. And it's a nice mirroring moment, but it also just made me wonder, is Carrie Bradshaw a very lazy writer? Like, not 4 weeks ago or however long, she opened her column in the exact same way, if we're to believe she's writing this column. It's like, come on, Carrie.
Once Upon a Time. Maybe she's just like, she wasn't feeling the creative juices. Maybe she was that like week. Me and didn't leave her house for 4 days. I don't know.
That's true. We don't need to get into
yeah.
that. Moving on. I did love that in the opening kind of montage, they inserted a clip of episode 2 when they're at that party. And they have like that sexy moment in Models and Mortals and mm-hmm. Models. And I did like the idea that Carrie is slightly less certain than Big. She says a certain man and a slightly less certain woman. And I think that that's good to establish the kind of power dynamic between them that Carrie has oddly already like positioned herself beneath of him.
Yeah. That I felt that was really important too. And I think this is when we really first get the real glimpse of their power dynamic in their relationship and just their relationship, how we'll see it play out for the next like
20 years,
90 episodes.
And they also meet at that bar and she spills a drink on him and she is wearing what looks to be a tank top and everyone else is in business casual.
It's just not who she is.
There were just some strange looks. Carrie has never quite hidden what... She's never wearing the right thing for the right place, I think. But that's why she's a style icon.
That's why she is who she is.
Do you want to start by just chatting about what Carrie's up to in this episode?
Well, she and Big decide that they're going to have a thing, not a date.
Not
she
a date.
She said when she was in line with her friends, you know, the other girls, she was like, yeah, he didn't use the D word. And in that moment, I was like... She's already, like you said, positioning herself very beneath him. Like, she's waiting for him to confirm that it's a date. She's really looking into everything that he says and reading into it. Like, she made her friends listen to a voicemail and, like, try to decode, like, what it meant. And it's like, he's never, but that's who Big is. It's like, he doesn't really speak in code. He's very honest in the things that he says. She just thinks that she just tries to understand a lot deeper than she really should.
I don't know. There might be a little code, but we're going to have to fully get into that in season 2 when Big is really on his bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
But I did think it was interesting that they decide to go on this quote-unquote mm-hmm. thing, and it seems like Big invited her to have mm-hmm. a thing, but that perhaps she chose this location. And so it's interesting to me that she would choose a location, like a party where all of her friends will be. So it's almost like she's aware that there's a chance he might not show up. She wants this buffer. It's a very strange choice to decide like, oh yeah, I want to have my first date or thing with yeah. this man. But 100% my three best friends need to be around.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that.
And at a location where we're not going to be able to
talk.
Yeah,
we're going to be in a really loud, crowded bar. Because I think she was setting it up in case it failed. Like, she was like, okay, like you said, in case he doesn't show up, then I'm going to be fine. I'm cool. I'm not going to be embarrassed because I'm not going to be sitting somewhere by myself. Because he said a thing, not a date.
So she really takes that thing to heart. Yeah. She's like, this will not be a date. But he doesn't show up, and Samantha decides to introduce Carrie to Sam. It bothers me to no end that they couldn't come up with a different name for him, because now we've got you, Sam, Samantha Jones, and Timothy Oliphant, Sam. It's like, what's going on?
I can't fucking tell you how disgusted I was when I watched her grab his tongue.
Okay, first we just need to give it up for 90s, early 2000s icon,
who
Timothy Oliphant.
Who is in another episode, right? Oh no, he's in Mindy Kaling's show, The Mindy Project.
Yes, I was going to say star of Scream 2, First Wives Club, The Mindy Project. He has a very similar role on The Mindy Project.
That's why my head went there, because I was like, does he come back later in this? But it's Mindy Project. Okay.
I'm sure there are people at home screaming that he's been in like actual classy things, but I'm going to give him Scream 2, The First Wives Club, and The Mindy Project. Those are my main touchstones with Timothy. But they meet, and what did you think of him?
I thought he was fun, but I'm also 20-something. So like, I know I've met guys like this before and they're just like a good time. But I like... we're still in COVID, but after going through this past year.
We're never getting out.
Hell on earth, truly. when she grabbed his tongue.
It was a little worrying.
You sick fuck. You are touching this man's tongue. And then Big walks up, which reminds me in a future, are we allowed to talk about?
No.
Okay,
I know exactly
okay,
what
okay,
you're going to
okay.
say.
I won't
and
say
don't say it, because that's a very pivotal moment. And we still have not established whether or not we're spoiling things.
We're really not sure.
We're not sure. Please let us know if you want us to spoil things. We don't know. But so right now we're being very careful not to. But I know exactly what you're going to reference. And we're going to talk about that for like 7 years when we get to it.
So she grabs his tongue to look at his tongue ring, which felt very low on the tongue.
I don't know any. I will say, Sam Bush and I, because we got a lot of Sams here, rewatched each episode multiple times. And I watched it this morning. And what I will say is that this was the first time, I can never remember exactly. I mean, we see Carrie turn 35, I think, in season 3. So she's pretty close to my current age right now in the show. And this is the first time I'm watching the show at basically the age Carrie is. The idea of dating a 20-something man is disgusting.
You wouldn't date a 28-year-old.
Well, first of all, they're very clear to only refer to them as 20-something.
20-something guys always know the really important B people. Busboys, bouncers. Plus, they have cute butts.
So I'm thinking 25. He's probably 25.
I was like, well, can we please situate exactly how old this man is? We'll get to his apartment later, but I thought he was a fresh 22 with the way that place looked.
Oh, yes. It felt very much like the women on Real Housewives of New York take home. Like, they felt that young.
But that was the first time today I realized, oh my God, I am at this point Carrie Bradshaw's age, and doing this podcast, I will probably age to the age she will be in the revival. But she ends up making out with him all night.
5 hours.
And completely 5 hours.
That's
which,
exhausting.
I mean, yeah, you cannot catch me on these streets making out with a man.
For 5 hours, I would be so tired.
Well, she did look quite sleepy in the morning, so.
I mean, I just was like.
And she needed her morning Marlboro Light. I've never smoked, but the idea of smoking first thing in the morning just is like, whoa.
Feels like I'm already really dehydrated in the morning.
But then did you notice the classic awful Carrie? She lies and
ditches
Miranda on the street to go help him shop at Banana Republic. First of all, would that man even shop at
Banana Republic? Did it have a different vibe in 1998? Was it more like...
How would you describe Banana Republic's vibe now? I would describe it as like white guys who work at like internships.
Yes, like that is where you go to buy your first pair of like interview pants.
Before you realize where you get where I am in my career, which is like, I'm showing up and whatever the fuck I want.
Power move.
Unless someone from work is listening to this, and then I respect everyone who works there.
No, but another part where you bring up typical Carrie behavior is when Charlotte calls her. And she's like, what do you want? I was like, you're a bitch.
We're going to spend quite a bit of time getting to that eventually. Because while I did not love this episode... The centerpiece of it is an iconic Sex and the City moment.
Like, I really, like, we finally got, I feel like, in this episode, we got good storyline with all four women. We got Mr. Big. We got a lot of sex talk. A lot of talk that probably in 1998 you never have seen women talk about this.
We'll get to it. But so, as you mentioned, Carrie has another thing with Mr. Big.
And speaking of potential boyfriends, later that week, the crossword puzzle asked me to meet him for a drink blank. Not quite a date, five letters, starts with a T.
She does a cute little crossword
pun. I loved that moment.
I know, me too. But then she arrives to the date, and we meet Mr. Marvelous. What'd you think of him?
I hate him.
Gorgeous.
What?
I thought he was so cute.
Chris, he's miserable.
But like an older gentleman. Now, did I love when he was like, my bitch wife took all my money, and now the second bitch is trying to get my money? I was like, oh boy.
No, but I've met men like this.
I know a lot of them.
They overshare. And, like, call their ex-wives bitches. And you're just like, whoa.
I'm just talking aesthetically. If he strolled through Succession, I think we'd all have a thrill.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But how fucking pissed would you be if you thought you had a date with this guy that you really liked?
A thing.
And Mr. Marvelous
But
down?
She did what... Look, the last thing, Big showed up and she was touching a man's tongue.
Okay, you're right.
All he
right.
did was bring his heartbroken friend to a familial dinner.
Yeah, and again, I think that highlights that there's always a lot of miscommunication.
And I think they're both playing games. Because he could have called and told her.
Yeah.
But Carrie, like, she takes a sip of his whiskey, tongue. Or probably scotch, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly decides to buy them a round of drinks, which, like, girls, ladies, gay men at home, never spend your own money on wealthy men.
But that, she probably felt so cool doing that.
I know, but then the bitch had to walk 42 blocks in $400 shoes.
42? How many miles is 42 blocks?
Too many.
40 too many.
But she has her own abso-fucking-lutely moment, which mm-hmm. is great. One of the rare times Sarah Jessica Parker curses on the show, because I think she had in her contract a certain amount of times. And also a no nudity clause.
Right, which we know.
And I can't wait to discuss, I think, the most iconic moment where she curses in the elevator. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do, but...
We can't get into it, but...
we don't know if we can discuss.
But, whew, that elevator things. Moment where she's using a phrase and then it shifts.
Okay.
I'm titillated.
Titillated, just talking about it. We'll really shine during season 3 and 4. I just gotta tell
this
you.
This podcast... Guys, if you don't like this podcast
We're
now...
We're gonna shine.
That's fine, because when we get to 3 and 4, chef's kiss.
You're going to see a whole different side.
We're going to be... The fights are going to be bigger. I'm probably going to honestly cry during several episodes.
Probably.
Because right now we're just... This is just for jokes and laughs right now.
Yeah.
So she ends up meeting... she ends up going home with Sam. And... we should also mention, right, that the whole metaphor throughout this episode is that these 20-something men are like drugs. So they're making out, and she says the high, she, you know, her tolerance for the drug of 20-something men have gone up, so she now has to go a bit further, so she decides to go home with him,
mm-hmm.
and she wakes up in the harsh light of day, and what can only be described as a nightmare.
Chris.
What'd you think?
I related to that so heavily.
I've been there.
I've been there.
I've been to that apartment. Like, I flashed to, like...
I fully dated someone who had a blanket as a curtain.
Sonia Morgan style?
No, like, it was like...
Didn't she hang her blankets at one point? No, she hanged her monogram towels.
Yeah, that felt different. That felt a little bit...
Why wouldn't you just not have curtains?
Like, great questions.
I would choose to not have curtains before I hung a, like, a bed sheet.
But, like... We've all been to, like, a frat party, unfortunately, like, where there's no toilet paper. Like, I knew a girl that would bring her own roll of toilet paper to a frat party. Because she's like, I know there's not going to be any.
Was she sleeping with a guy who was there?
It's a little fuzzy.
Okay.
But the floors were always sticky, and, like, he used the toilet paper. He used toilet paper for a coffee filter.
I mean, I have definitely been there, right, when you go home with a guy... And it's very sexy the night of, and then you're really not, you're drunk, you're not paying attention, and then you wake up and it's like, you live here? And by the way, I should also say, I'm certain men have probably felt the same way about my home, because I lived in a house in my early 20s that didn't even have heat in the winter. I mean, it was a shock. However, we did keep it pretty clean in there for what it was.
The thing is like, you can have like... Like, right now, I'm, like, not loving the place that I'm in.
Yeah, you basically live in the outdoors.
Yeah, I just...
fucking Jumanji over there.
I know. But I keep it clean. I've also never had a man spend the night here.
Ever?
No.
You're okay. I've never we're going to take a little bit of a detour. You're more of a you go to their place kind of girl.
Yeah, because I also live in a studio apartment, and it's just like, and I have a cat, so it's like I'm fine with Barb meowing at 5 a.m, but they might not be fine with it. So like, I would just rather not.
We are in the rare place where we agree. I actually love to go back with someone, and because it puts, I feel it's much easier for me to have the agency to leave than requesting you to leave my home.
Yeah, or like give you the signals like, okay.
But I have had to say basically a Meredith Grey of like, look, I'm gonna go take a shower. And when I get back, I'd like you to be gone and all my things to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyways, we both agree for once that it's a rare occasion on this podcast that like we've both woken up in situations where we're just like, oh.
And I also love that his kind of aloof sexiness that worked in that weird red club is so different in the morning when she's not like... When he's talking about his, like, monologuing about his dream and his hands, it's so funny.
I had these big hands. Like, big aluminum hands.
But it's, like, it's not that different than the man he was before. Like, he is a weirdo who's going to say, like, I want to show you my tongue.
Yeah, it's just in a different light.
Carrie leaves, and she decides to go shoe shopping. She's wearing your favorite coat.
It's just so fucking raggedy looking.
I love it. I think it's iconic.
I get how it's iconic. Like, I 100% agree. I just personally think it looks so dirty. And I know Carrie just throws that thing on the floor. And
absolutely. Mites are just living in it. She's not taking good care of her things at this point in her life.
No.
But she runs into Mr. Marvelous and his date. And Big is under the little table. She helps him solve his crossword puzzle with the word hinge.
It was so sexy.
It is. Although I did find their energy actually to be a little more bantery here, which hasn't necessarily been their energy quite yet. I still liked it, but it felt a little...
It felt more like witty and flirty.
Yeah, and whereas usually it's just kind of like palpable, their tension.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, does she yet have Mr. Big figured out? We don't know, but she can certainly help him with their crossword. And it's almost as if... In this moment, their power dynamic has somehow become a bit more balanced. He asks her out. She says, give me a call, instead of kind of being eager. Although I do love the ending where she's the girl who can't help but turn around.
As I walked away, I had a thought. Maybe all men are a drug. Sometimes they bring you down. And sometimes, like now, they get you so high. Damn. It would have been so cool if I hadn't looked back.
What'd you think of the ending? I loved it.
I loved it. I thought it was a great episode. But especially for season one, which isn't my favorite. You know, I thought it was a really fun episode.
But that's how the episode ends with Carrie. And now, let's get into it. Let's get into Queen Charlotte. Her first kind of, in some ways, her debut into the show.
Mm-hmm. What a debut.
And what a debut. So, we see her at the beginning of the episode. She is dating a new man, Brian. Did you know who Brian was?
What like, do you mean? Actor? No, I never know.
This is a bit of a journey. The actor is Josh Stomberg, and he was in, if you know, Marvel isn't my ministry in particular, but he was in WandaVision during the pandemic. But he was also in that show, The Affair, which, did you watch that on Showtime?
I know it had Kerry Russell in it, right?
No, that's The Americans.
Or no, that's The Americans.
Which was on FX.
No, The Affair. I know what that is.
Yeah, it has our future Prince Charles on it, Dominic Monaghan. And he was on that show. But for all my NPR heads out there, Brian's mom is Susan Stromberg, one of the first founders of NPR and the former host of All Things Considered. This podcast is very classy. So I just wanted to...
Yeah, you really amaze me every
day. I just wanted to get that out there. But so she is dating Brian, who she says has looks, money, and manners. All three of the things she needs, and is going to buy one of her paintings. So Charlotte is career-focused and ready for love, and she really seems to like Brian. But then Carrie is getting ready for a date with Big, wearing that blue dress, and she gets a call from Charlotte, who needs her to help her advice, Carrie's advice.
And Carrie kind of brushes it off. She's like, what do you want? And then you don't know what Charlotte says in the moment, but Carrie's like, oh, I'll be right there.
Yes. And we find that he has requested... anal sex.
Meet me in front of your apartment in 10 minutes. Okay, words are essential. Tell me exactly how he worded it.
We've been seeing each other for a couple of weeks. I really like you. And tomorrow night, after dinner, I want us to have anal sex.
Now, Carrie, dizzy Carrie, against Charlotte's will, has somehow enlisted Miranda and Samantha. Now, I was also thinking, there's no texting during this time. Did she get off the phone and instantly call them and say, we're coming over? Like, how did she get them? Like, I do love this idea that it was like, okay, we're dropping everything and we're getting in this cab.
Conference call in the taxi.
But I do wish she had at least asked Charlotte whether or not, you know, she wanted those two there. But
I think Charlotte, I mean, you know, they're a group of girlfriends. Like, you kind of share everything with each other.
That's true.
About one
But it's a classic. Usually. Look, guys, this is our first iconic Sex and the City scene. I mean, this is... When the clip package is rolled on the show forever, this scene is always going to be a part of it. It's, Well, no, I guess our first iconic moment is abso-fucking-lutely from the pilot.
Well, yes, but this was probably the first moment we got to see women talk about sex in this way.
Yeah, because I was also thinking, right, at this point in the show, there aren't a ton of sex scenes in the show. They're not necessarily, blowing Kim Cattrall's back out every episode, as they will eventually.
Right.
But, you know, this is frank talk about something that is being handled as if no one has ever done it before. I love the different women.
I mean, I've had this conversation with my friends.
I mean, look, it's a pretty clear and important part of my having sex, so it's like, I don't know why we have to handle this as if it's like, woo, it's this taboo thing, but I love that, you know, we have the different perspectives. Miranda's absolutely focused on the power dynamics and what you might lose and how that's gonna work.
It's all about control. If he goes up there, there's gonna be a shift in power. Either he'll have the upper hand or you will. Now, there's a certain camp that believe whoever holds the dick holds the power, but hello, you're driving. The question is, if he goes up your butt, will he respect you more or respect you less? That's the issue.
No, no smoking cap.
Sir, we're talking up the butt. A cigarette is in order.
Yeah, and I love when she yells at the taxi driver. She's like, turn around. This is a private conversation happening in a taxi.
By the way, spoiler alert. So hit that little button. But you know that taxi driver, he comes back in the first movie.
He does. Yes,
so we love him.
We love a circle
That's one back. Of my favorite little callbacks, that he's a taxi driver in, like, Carrie's neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha gets in and clearly... right as always. She's just like,
look, I'm just saying, with the right guy and the right lubricant.
What was that?
A preview?
It's a perfectly fine sexual desire.
It's, oh, by the way, it is also okay to not necessarily be interested in it, obviously.
Obviously, I'm not interested.
I don't think you need to share that with all the straight men who are listening to this podcast and might want to date you one day.
No one wants to date me.
We also know that only gorgeous women and gay men are listening to this.
Obviously. And my parents.
Oh, shout out to them.
But, yeah, it just sounds like so annoying. It sounds like so much work.
And God knows sex should never be work. And you should just lay there.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, like, I mean, we don't have to get into, like, the graphic
detail. No, we don't, and we will not.
Anal sex. But from what I've heard, there's a lot of preparation.
Yes.
I don't want to do any of that. It doesn't feel sexy to me.
But obviously, you know, so they have this council. They have the great, it ends, of course, with that great punctuation, a preview.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so funny. The car, like hits a road bump or something. Charlotte decides not to have anal sex with him, and he says, can't we just do it the regular way?
Yeah, he's like, okay, it's not that. He's like, it was just a suggestion. We don't have to do that. Like, it's not that serious, which kind of, again, highlights how women sometimes can feel about sex and talk about it. Like, oh my God, he wants me to do this. What do I do? What do I do? And they overthink everything. And then he's just like a dude that just like wants to put it in your butt, and it's fine if he can't.
Kristen Davis is so funny in her little monologue there about not wanting to do it and why she can't, because people won't marry Mrs. I don't want to be Mrs. Up the Butt. And I love her little no.
Yeah.
And it's so it's in some ways, I think, you know, she has many great moments. But when we were looking to put together the trailer for this podcast and we wanted four quotes from each of the women, that is the quote we chose for Charlotte. So I think they have figured out finally something to do with her, and she rose to the occasion.
I agree. And I liked the moment where they all laughed in the car together. It felt like, okay, now we're really seeing four good friends.
Yes, absolutely.
I liked that a lot.
Now Samantha. She doesn't really have anything going on.
Yeah, Samantha, I mean, again, she's just kind of the sexually free one. We know that she's down to clown, you know. She's
having great sex with John.
Hello.
I am so fucked.
What's wrong?
No, I mean literally. I have been fucked every way you can be fucked.
If you keep talking like that, I'm gonna have to charge you by the minute.
But after one of their nights, you know, he notices and says that she has the cutest little wrinkles in her neck. What'd you think of him pointing that out? And is that man still alive?
I would literally lose my mind. This reminds me of a story my friend just told me about her boyfriend. There, I guess.
Should you be sharing this?
Men. Yeah, because I mean, it's happened to me as well. But because it's like a thing. Men call them uterus pouches.
Excuse me?
Yes, this is a thing going on right now where men think the uterus pouch is like a cute thing.
And they'll say to your neck, like about your neck?
It's like the little tiny, like little piece of like fat that's like right where your uterus is. Like, you know, like you got a little tummy. But it's like even women with like the flattest stomachs in the world have.
Not all of us go down there.
No, it's like even women with really, really flat stomachs, like even they have like
this. Oh, this is your stomach. I thought you were talking about like your vagina.
No, I'm not talking about my vagina. Okay. I'm talking about like your stomach.
My mom and dad.
Like, there's this little tiny pouch like right under your belly button. Usually that's where your uterus is. And men are talking about it recently, calling it the uterus pouch and how they think women with them, like with the uterus pouches are really sexy. And I guess this guy looked at my friend and was like, yeah, I love your uterus pouch. You would never see me again. She was like, I want to kill myself.
I'm going to have to do some deeper
research. Do you get what I'm saying?
I don't. I'm going to have to do some deeper research.
It's like the same thing as a guy saying like, oh, I love the wrinkles in your neck. It's like not something you really want brought attention
to. So if you have a uterus pouch, you just don't want to talk about it.
No, because it's usually not like you don't love it. This isn't something you flaunt.
And by the way, I want everyone to know I've grown like 7 uterus pouches during the pandy.
Same.
So, and I don't want nobody mentioning mine either.
Like, or like if you're ever like spooning or if a guy is spooning you and they like hold your belly.
That's nice.
It's awful.
Although I did love when Carrie says earlier in the episode, and then he spooned me, as if to say, like, I guess older, like, men in their 40s aren't going to do that. So I guess there's the appeal of 20-something guys right there if they're going to spoon you.
Spooning you, just don't hold my belly.
Yeah. Keep everything
don't
above.
Don't cradle my fucking belly.
Above the nips, please.
Yeah. It was just sick. But I felt Samantha deep.
And then they say she decides to basically give up on 20-somethings there. Now, that's the end of Samantha, and with even less to do, Miranda. Basically, the whole thing is that Miranda is dating Skipper. It's to remind us that they're still fucking.
And she's dating a younger guy, yeah. And she's...
Did you like Skipper playing basketball?
Hated all of it. I hate him so much. And when he goes, they didn't have any martinis for you, so I got you a rum and coke. Like, why the fuck would a woman who drinks a martini want a rum and coke?
Well, do you think he... I don't think he... Miranda had asked for a... I think he's... Oh, wait. No, she...
She did.
She says,
He's like, they were out.
Also, LOLs, how are you out of martinis? The bartender was obviously just lying.
Yeah. He's like, I don't have time for that. What else do you fucking
but
want?
But Miranda... Also, who doesn't like a rum and coke?
Me?
I mean, I don't love them. They're not my... there we go. I guess neither of us.
Yeah, but that's another thing where Miranda's just like, oh my God, this fucking guy, Skipper.
But she's just so mean. She's just like, it's...
She is mean, but she hates him.
Just drink the rum and coke, Miranda. He tried. He paid for your drinks. By the way, that's New York City. 100% those drinks cost $20.
This is true.
I don't know. I know you hate Skipper, but he's trying.
No, but she does come across really harsh, yes, with him. Like, and not in like a really amazing, like powerful way. It's like this very like...
Well, she's right. Like, there's a sometimes. She's mean. She's just being mean to him.
Okay. Yeah.
And she knows she can get away with it because he's weak, which frankly, you know, in my life, I would rather you be mean than weak. Like, I can't do weakness.
But that's what they're, I think, trying to set her up for, is this idea that she doesn't want a guy that's like a yes guy. Yeah. I don't want a yes guy. They're so boring.
So that's the episode. What did you think of the fashion?
Very insignificant. Like, very nothing going on. I did like that we saw Charlotte's bedroom. I always love seeing the women's homes because I feel like it very highlights their different personalities.
She's got...
like, Charlotte's is cream, white sheets, like, white, cream, cream, cream. And then Carrie's is very, like, I don't want to say the word eclectic because it's not that eclectic. It's just, like, there's more personality.
There's clutter. It's also clutter. Like, it's not as organized as the... It's certainly... I don't think we've seen Samantha's apartment yet, but we will eventually. It's also not as adult, right? Like, the three of them have very, like, kind of stately apartments, if memory serves. Although Samantha's is basically just one big bedroom, which...
Well, eventually it is when she moves to the meatpacking district. But I really hate the first bed we see of Samantha's.
Oh, God, it's awful.
Hate it.
With those red sheets.
With the gold phone.
I did like the blue dress that she wears throughout the for most of the episode. Mm-hmm. I also thought it was very funny that Sarah Jessica Parker is doing a good job of ensuring that the jacket is closed. Because if she didn't, Big would be aware she's wearing the exact same dress that he saw her the night previously. So during their entire conversation, it's like cinched.
Yeah, she's like, you're not seeing what I'm wearing. Also, she looks fairly good for waking up at that shithole apartment.
Yeah, she took a whore's bath, to quote
horse bath.
My beloved Happy Endings. It was a real whore's bath.
Whore's bath?
Yeah, David, I did take a whore's bath, okay? I had a one-night stand, and I didn't have time to shower. So, did I rub some dryer sheets on my pits and splash some water on my hush in the bathroom of an au bon bain? Yes, I did. I'm sorry that I'm a modern-day single woman who enjoys sex as much as a man. Sue me!
So who was your favorite man this episode? We met, of course, Sam, John, Mr. Marvelous, Brian, and Sam's roommate. We also had Skipper and Mr. Big come back into our lives. Who'd you like?
Right, but I won't say Mr. Big every episode. I have to pick someone else.
I mean, you don't have to.
I don't know. I thought Sam was fun.
I'm actually going to go with Brian. I thought he was cute. And I love that when Charlotte laid down the line, he wasn't upset. He just said, all right, let's fuck the regular way.
Yeah, he was like down. He was like, okay, girl.
And then
not a big deal.
I'm sure they probably broke up because she could never get over that.
Never. But I also like Sam because I like that he's himself the entire time.
Absolutely. He's very self-possessed, as most 20-year-old white men are.
Yeah.
Do you have any hot takes? I'm sorry I can't. Don't hate me.
I'm sorry I can't. Don't hate me. I mean, I did the coat last week. I fucking hate that coat. My I'm sorry I can't. Don't hate me of the week is probably... I don't think I have one. I really liked this episode.
I do. And mine is that Sarah Jessica Parker is a goddamn fool for thinking that this is the best episode of Sex and the City, for thinking it is the most emblematic of what the show is and could become, because the clear winner of that is season 2's La Dolor Esquise. It is where the show became what the show is. It's where everything changed. It's where people stopped talking to the camera, although I don't think they did that in this episode. It was the pinnacle. It's what started it. It's where we got everything. It's where she wrote a monologue for the ages that we will get to and break down for 20 minutes. She should know better, and I'm mad at her.
But I think for at the time, in 1998...
She said this in 2016, Sam.
No, I know, but at the time, I'm saying this episode was a very big deal. You had four women talking about anal sex on a television show.
La Dolor Esquise is where Sex and the City becomes Sex and the City. I will die on this hill.
Okay.
And Sarah Jessica Parker should be taken to the red table. That's how wrong she is.
Okay.
For her hot take. And that's my hot take. I'm sorry. I can't. Don't hate me for it, though.
And what would you rate this episode?
A 4. I thought this was a flop.
A flop?
A flop. It did nothing for me. And by the way, guys, I watched it 8 times.
I would rate this episode a 6.5.
Again, with your low ratings for things that you spent all this time defending.
Because I just know that I know what a 10 is, and this is not that.
You can't see the show in a silo. You've got to rate it against itself. I'm just looking at this as like an episode of TV I stumbled upon, and it's a flop for me.
I can't do that. I just can't.
I wish you could, but you can't. I'm sorry.
Can't. Don't hate me.
Yeah. And I don't. Well, guys, we did it. That's another episode of Shortcomings. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you'll join us again next week for our recap of Season 1, Episode 5, The Power of Female Sex. BT-dubs, I have no memory of that episode. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Shortcomings wherever you listen to podcasts. And check out the other podcasts from The Dip. We've got TV Watch Repeat, Pop Chaser, Slut Pig Podcast, and of course, Hot Off the Mess. Sam has been doing some great work over there. You've been releasing, I feel like, more episodes than ever.
I do 2 a week of Hot Off the Mess.
Feel free to follow us online. You can find me on Instagram at clewis1219. Sam, where can people get at you?
At Bravo Historian on Instagram.
All right. Well, that is our episode for the week. Bye.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.